everybody. Welcome to Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm your host today, Chris Koenig. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft based in Dallas, Texas. My primary focus is around Windows Azure, but I'm here today to talk to a special guest, Michael Perry. He's a client app dev MVP based here in Texas, who's been doing a lot of work with a product that he's put together called Update Controls. It's an open source data binding framework that runs across a bunch of our developer platforms and soon to be available running on Windows 8. Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've been a client app dev MVP for now going on a couple of years. It's been a really great ride. And now I am also a principal consultant at Improving Enterprises. So that that's quite a nice jump in my career there.
And just
working on. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Update Controls is all about, and then we'll switch over and have a look at this app that I understand you've prepared for us mm-hmm. today.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, so Update Controls is a dependency tracking framework that helps you with data binding. So, dependency tracking. If you're familiar with Knockout.js, it's the same sort of thing that Knockout does. In most MVVM frameworks, like Lawrence MVVM Lite, you know, I know you're a big fan, I am too, of MVVM Lite, you have to tell the framework when to fire a property you changed. But with Update Controls, it discovers those dependencies, and then whenever something changes, it fires it on your behalf.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's very cool. It simplifies how much code you have to write, and it makes it easier on you to sort of reduce the coding dependencies you have to write and does a lot of that work for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I had that working originally for Windows Forms, ported it to WPF and to Silverlight, and now I'm launching the Windows 8 port of Update Controls.
Excellent. Well, let's get in there and have a look.
All right. So what this application does, this shows your next action on several different projects. So let me go ahead and start up the app. This is a Windows 8 Microsoft UI type of application. So you can see here we've got a list of all the projects that I'm working on. I select a project, and I've got a list of tasks that I have to complete on that project. I can fill in the task title and description. But the interesting feature here is notice that this has the name of the next task right here under each of the projects, so I can go straight to that task and you know what I need to work on next. So when I mark that completed, you'll see that here it updates the name of the task to the next one. And then similarly here, if I update the text, you'll see that it updates there.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's doing this tracking back and forth from your source back up into the UI, but it's doing it dynamically based on whether or not the individual tasks are completed or not.
Right, exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, there are lots of different things that you might do in order to change the next action. Like you might take this one here, and you want to move this task up. And so now that becomes the next action. And so if you were to code this by thinking about when to fire property changed, you would have a lot of places in your logic that would need to update this one place in the view model. But because of dependency tracking, it can figure out what might impact that point in the view model all on its own. So let me show you what the code for that looks like. Here in my project header, which is the object that gets data bound to each item in that list, we've got a next action property. And so here I just have a little bit of code that says, hey, project, what is the next action? And then if you don't have one, show no next action. Otherwise, show the action's name. Now, if I go into the next action property, let me zoom in on that a little bit, then you can see here it's using a link statement. So it's looking through all of your actions, the ones that are not complete, putting them in order, and then selecting the first action that it gets. So this is just a link query that expresses what you want to show up in that place. And you'll notice here that this guy doesn't fire property changed. Yeah, this guy, he doesn't have I notify property changed in him. It's just simply that the update controls framework is able to examine this code, see what it's doing, and then figure out all of the different places that could possibly cause this to change. And then anytime one of those things changes, then it fires property changed at the appropriate time. Now
I noticed when you were scrolling through some of your code there, you've got a couple of property placeholders or backing stores inside your class that are of type independent. Mm-hmm. How does that factor into all of this?
Right. So an independent is something that something else could depend upon. It's something that the user could change. So all of the properties of the model are independent. So here inside of an action, the name is independent, the description is independent. And so we just simply get and set those values, but because they're independent, then update controls knows to track the dependencies upon them. It's kind of similar. I've got a math degree, so I always think in terms of mathematics. But if you've got a function of y equals f of x, then y is your dependent variable and x is independent, and that's what this is referring to. It's the thing that could change and has an impact on something else.
So I presume there are some corresponding dependent variables listed somewhere?
There are in some cases, but in most cases, like in this one, every single one of these properties of the view model is just dependent by default. There is, there's something that you put inside of your view model locator. So let me go ahead and show you the view model locator real quick. So right here, when I say for view wrap, I'm going to wrap this view model for the view. And so it puts dependence on every single one of its properties.
Oh, I see. So you don't have to specify the dependence side. It's this this class does it for you when you wrap it up.
Right, exactly. So that wrapper fires property change notifications for you. It injects observable collections, and it has those dependents in there to go ahead and track the dependencies upon all of your independents, which are down in your model.
So, Michael, I really like this framework. I know we've been talking about it for a couple of years now. I'm glad we got a chance to kind of showcase it for everyone. I love the simplicity of the code that you get to write and how all the complexity of dealing with these property notifications gets wrapped up for you, it's taken care of for you, and you can focus more on just the core bits that relate to the logic of the app and get out of all of the plumbing. That's really, really fantastic.
So that's exactly the goal.
So being a developer myself, and I know the people listening to the radio are eager to try this out, how would they get their hands on update controls?
Yeah, it's available through NuGet. So you just go into your NuGet package manager and search for update controls. And you can find all sorts of examples and videos and walkthroughs on updatecontrols.net.
That's great. Updatecontrols.net is a great resource. I visited there myself. You also host a blog with some training videos there as well to kind of walk you through some of the finer details. So through NuGet, through updatecontrols.net, and I believe all the code is out and available on CodePlex as well, right? So that's updatecontrols.codeplex.com.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, go ahead and check it out and your questions.
Fantastic. I will be posting out on my blog, which is chriskoenig.net, some links to some of the content that Michael talked about today, all of the links to the NuGet package, the installer, and all of those things. As well as once we get the video published, I'll have a link to that there. So make sure you guys are watching at chriskoenig.net. And we'll catch you next time on the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio.